Well, good morning, everyone. And here we are about to enter a new week, and it feels like autumn is here already. But here's a question for all of us. Are you insignificant or are you significant? Now, if you've ever been out driving and you're trying to see through a dirty windscreen, it's then that you appreciate the screen wash and the wipers, even though they may seem fairly insignificant parts of a car. And mud or even mist and fog can make a car journey dangerous. You've got to keep your heart clear too. If you're not sure how, consider the example of John the Baptist and those who first recognized Jesus as Messiah. The only way to maintain clear vision is to stay in the scriptures, talk to God, and listen to wisdom. Now, the Israelites have been waiting for the Messiah for hundreds of years. Jesus is appointing his 12 disciples and will soon begin his public ministry. So let's look at John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verses 35 to 42. The next day John, and this is John the Baptist, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what Jesus had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. I'm going to stop there and just look at Peter and Andrew. Now, we know a lot about Peter. Strong-willed, impulsive, liable to put his foot in it time and time and time and time again. He went on to be a great servant of God in spreading the word and wrote two letters towards the end of the New Testament. But it's Peter's brother Andrew who I want to look at. We don't read a lot about Andrew in the New Testament. And some people think that Andrew was insignificant. So what do we know about Andrew? In the Greek language, Andrew means manly or brave. He was born in Bethesda. The striking characteristic of Andrew is his name. It isn't Hebrew, as might have been expected, but Greek. We're in Galilee, where the Greek language and culture are present. When Andrew heard John say, "Look, the Lamb of God," Andrew went and spent the day with Jesus. Spending time with Jesus had a profound effect on Andrew. And the first thing he did was to go and find his brother Simon Peter and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." Both Andrew and Peter were fishermen by trade, and hence the tradition Jesus called them to be his disciples by saying, "He will make them fishers of men." In the Gospels, Andrew is referred to as being present on some important occasions as one of the disciples more closely attached to Jesus. It was Andrew who told Jesus about the boy with the loaves and fishes. He was present at the Last Supper, and Andrew was one of the four disciples who came to Jesus on the Mount of Olives to ask about the signs of Jesus' return at the end of the age. And later it is believed that Andrew preached along the Black Sea and the Dnieper River as far as Kiev. And hence he became a patron saint of Ukraine, Romania, and Russia. And he was finally martyred by crucifixion at the city of Patras in AD 60. But Andrew played his part in the Christian story. We're going to look at a lady now. So come with me to Acts chapter 9 and verses 36 to 43. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydia was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydia, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet and presented her to the widows and the believers alive. And this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter, meanwhile, stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. We only read once in the Bible about a woman called Dorcas. So was she insignificant? Dorcas is the first Greek name of a female in the New Testament, the Hebrew equivalent being Tabitha. Dorcas lived in Joppa, about 38 miles from Jerusalem. Today it's known as Jaffa, and is a suburb of Tel Aviv. Dorcas is called a disciple and is thus included among the numerous disciples mentioned in the New Testament. It says that this woman was full of good deeds and helping the poor. You know, sometimes well-meaning people sit around and talk about charitable works they never do. Sometimes they propose these works and leave others to execute them. Well, Dorcas not only thought up ways of relieving the needy, but she also carried out her plans. Among her good works was that of fashioning coats and garments for widows and the needy in her church and community with her own loving hands. The practical, unselfish service of this Christian lady resulted in a multitude of benevolent, charitable organizations that flowed out of the city of Joppa. It's as if God said, "What is in your hand?" And Dorcas replied, "A needle." And he took what she had and she stitched for Jesus' sake. All praises then to the needle that provided practical help to the widows and the needy. The garments cut out and sold represented Christian faith in action. "I was naked and ye clothed me," said Jesus of those who clothed the poor and destitute children. It was a sad day at Joppa when one of its most devoted and loved members died in the midst of her works of charity. But her fellow disciples at the church where she had worshipped learned that Peter was nearby. Word was sent to Peter, and he didn't delay. Peter must have been moved when he got there, as the coats and garments that Dorcas had made were exhibited there. Peter put the people out of the room and prayed. And Dorcas sat up, and Peter presented her alive to the saints and widows. What a moving scene that must have been. What joy must have prevailed among the crowd now that their much loved Dorcas was alive again. The resurrection of Dorcas had a twofold effect. First of all, the miracle comforted the mourners, for she had returned to her life of good works. The miracle was like Jesus's miracle, one of mercy and grace. The second effect was to convince all the truth of the Christian faith as it was by miraculous power. Throughout Joppa, the message rang, "Dorcas is alive again." And many people believed in the Lord. And we can read afterwards that after the miracle, Peter stayed in Joppa for many days, and we can assume that his ministry helped the church in the establishment of the new converts. Peter stayed with Simon the Tanner, who prepared skins for leather to the glory of God, just as Dorcas made up her garments with consecrated hands. One thing I learnt from Dorcas was that she wasn't conscious of the magnificent work she was doing. Dorcas didn't aspire to be a leader, but was content to stay in her own home and try to do all she could in whatever way she could. Being an ordinary person just shows that you can become an extraordinary person because your heart is set on doing something for the church and community. We have the Vineyard Centre, the well, and the food bank, and children's work. All important services to the community. There are also other things that we can do from home, like the example of Dorcas. Have a think about what you could do from home, which you could be doing to glorify Jesus. Dorcas played her part in the Christian story. Well, we've looked at a man and we've looked at a woman. And finally, to keep things even, we look at children who are the generations to come. Come with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and just three verses from 13 to 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. I get the impression that the disciples didn't have too much patience. Here, little children are being brought before Jesus, and the disciples are rebuking the people for it. But Jesus took the children into his arms and blessed them. These children were significant to Jesus. Perhaps a reminder for us when we consider our children or grandchildren, that they are to be blessed, not kept out of sight or ignored. So what do we learn from all this? Whatever sort of person you are significant. You are important to Jesus, and you have a gift and service to offer. As Andy Mitchell said last week, each of us is an ambassador. So I leave you with questions in these unusual times. Are you using the gifting you have been given in your service to Jesus? Or are there new giftings developing in your life? Amen.